Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, April 15th, Tax Day. It's your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the governor signs the minimum wage increase. Republicans object to tying future increases to inflation. And changes to the sex offender program are unlikely to happen this year. Republican Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann says she will do everything she can to help make sure Tom Emmer takes her place when she leaves Congress at the end of the year. Bachmann is not running for re-election. Emmer won the Republican endorsement at the 6th District GOP convention last weekend, but now faces a primary challenge from former State Representative Phil Krenke and from Anoka County Board Chair Rhonda Sivaraja. At a state capitol news conference this morning, Bachmann predicted Emmer will win the August primary and the November election.
I will give Tom every measure that I possibly can, whether it's fundraising, whether it's personal help, whatever I can do, I'm there more than 100% to ensure that Tom Emmer is the next member of the United States Congress.
Two Democrats are campaigning for the 6th District DFL endorsement. They are Jim Reed of Avon and Sartell Mayor Joe Persky. In 2012, Bachmann won re-election by a little more than one percentage point. Minnesota's minimum wage will begin to climb this summer and could keep climbing every year after that. That's because the bill DFL Governor Mark Dayton signed into law yesterday during a state capitol ceremony includes a provision for automatic inflationary increases beginning in 2018. Most of the Republican candidates trying to unseat Dayton this fall have said they'll try to prevent those increases if they become governor. Tim Pugmire has more.
Surrounded by legislators and some of the workers who will soon get a raise, Governor Dayton signed the first minimum wage increase since 2005. The current rate of $6.15 will move in stages over the next 2 years to $8, $9, and $9.50 for large employers, and to $7.75 by 2016 for small employers. In remarks that sounded at times like a campaign stump speech, Dayton said the increase will help low-wage workers survive.
We're doing what Democrats do best. We're working, reaching out to people who work hard, who need the help, who shouldn't have to have a minimum wage in order to get paid a decent wage, in order to get paid a living wage. People who work as hard as people do should get paid enough money to be able to achieve the American dream, and that's what they want to do.
The annual inflationary increases begin in 2018 with an annual cap of 2.5%. The commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry can suspend an increase for a year in the event of an economic downturn. Right after details of the DFL-backed bill were announced last week, two Republican gubernatorial candidates went to the same podium to criticize the increase and warn about its impact on jobs. GOP Senator Dave Thompson of Lakeville said if he's elected governor, he will work to rescind the increase. Thompson also said he would suspend the annual indexing.
Yes, I don't think it's a good idea to index the minimum wage to inflation. We all want people to have good jobs and earn more money, and we want families to thrive and do well. But you don't do that with minimum wage increases. You do that with a robust, thriving economy.
Republican Representative Kurt Zellers of Maple Grove made a similar pledge to block inflationary increases.
Yes, indexing especially. That is probably one of the most dangerous things that you can do. Looking at surrounding states, none of them are going to do that. You look at where the job expansion is, they don't have indexing in their states.
Other GOP candidates are also willing to prevent indexing. Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson described the provision as terrible policy and an abdication of responsibility. Johnson said he too would make use of the process for suspending an annual increase.
I don't read it as saying that the governor just gets to decide on a whim whether to suspend an increase or not. I think it requires, you know, some economic indicators, but I would certainly take advantage of that if, under the letter and the intent of the law, I would absolutely take advantage of that.
Former State Representative Marty Seifert said he wouldn't want Minnesota's minimum wage rising too high too quickly.
I haven't read the specific language in the bill and how the mechanism works, but if we are above and beyond every single state in the United States, I would probably be pretty hesitant to implement that.
The new law allows an administration to make up the lost ground from a suspension once the economy improves. That's why the chief House sponsor of the bill, DFL Representative Ryan Winkler of Golden Valley, said he doesn't think a Republican governor would actually follow through with the threat.
In order to suspend an increase, the first thing they would have to do is admit that the economy is going down. Then they would have to have a public hearing and face the workers in this state who actually would benefit from the increase. And third of all, they would know that a future Democratic administration would be likely to replace that indexing or that inflationary increase anyway, so there wouldn't be much gain by doing it.
The minimum wage numbers appear to be favorable for the Democrats who supported the increase. There are an estimated 350,000 people who will get a raise. And a recent KSTP Survey USA poll found 61% of the Minnesotans surveyed approved of the increase to $9.50. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Democratic U.S. Senator Al Franken was in Moorhead yesterday to talk about railroad service and safety. Dan Gunderson reports.
Franken toured the city with local officials to see the traffic problems caused by frequent trains. He said he'd support money for an underpass to reduce traffic congestion. Franken says increased crude oil shipments risk more accidents like the explosion just west of Fargo in December.
We have the safety issue of not repeating Castleton, but we also have a very, very dire situation with agriculture here in North Dakota and Minnesota.
Franken says he will pressure the Surface Transportation Board to intervene.
I think that we have to tell the railroads that they have to provide more cars and do more shipping and that they have to take responsibility for meeting the increased demand.
Franken says Congress should establish a fund to address short-term and long-term impacts of the increased crude oil shipments by rail. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Moorhead.
Efforts to reform Minnesota's sex offender program look doomed for this year, despite pressure from a federal lawsuit. A federal judge in February ruled there are systematic flaws with the program that state lawmakers need to fix. But DFL Representative Tina Liebling of Rochester says she doesn't think the legislature will respond. She chairs the House Health and Human Services Policy Committee. Liebling says she fears the judge may shut down the state program and release some or all of the sex offenders confined there now.
Our whole goal all along has been to improve public safety while making this a program that would survive constitutional scrutiny. And it's a very explosive issue, especially in an election year. And so people are just very worried that this is an issue that can be messaged badly.
Liebling says she thinks this year's election is making the issue too controversial to address. Minnesota's online health insurance marketplace says consumers who completed special forms to meet the health care law's enrollment deadline need to select a plan and pay soon. Elizabeth Stowicki reports.
Consumers who completed a MinSure health insurance enrollment attempt form in the last days of March have only about a week to select a plan. The deadline for people enrolling in commercial health coverage is 11:59 p.m. Tuesday, April 22nd. In addition, people enrolling must pay their first month's premium by April 30th. Those that fail to meet those deadlines may not only be penalized for lacking health insurance, but also won't be able to enroll in coverage in the individual market in or outside MinSure until mid-November. Exceptions apply to people having a so-called life event, such as getting married, divorced, losing a job, or having a child. People eligible for government-sponsored coverage, such as medical assistance or MinnesotaCare, can still enroll. Elizabeth Stowicki, Minnesota Public Radio News.
That's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.